Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs this morning. We're going to read from Proverbs 4 this morning. We're going to read one verse this morning, Proverbs 4, that's verse 23. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read through the first time aloud, you'll read along silently, and then I'll read again the second time, we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's verse 23 of chapter 4, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. As you find in your place, if you are able this morning, please stand to your feet. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's read together, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, we thank you for the word of God, as we most do almost every week. How great it is, how wonderful. Help us to get from the word of God today what we need to get. God, speak to us individually. And Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for our sake. Help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit to hear what you have for us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask that you sit very still and listen carefully. Turn your cell phones and things off right now for a few moments and give us an opportunity to encourage you, challenge you with something from God's word. Now today, you're going to think that you went to your doctor and got a checkup. About 7 years ago, I went to the doctor and I weighed 330 pounds. Yeah, thank you. He said, Pastor, you need to get in better shape. And I said, Doc, round is a shape. He didn't buy that. Over the years, I've stood beside the hospital bed where cardiologists and doctors talk with patients and heard them talk about the heart condition this person had. And as I heard that conversation, dozens of them over 33 years of pastoring this church, I learned something not only about the physical heart, I learned something about what the Bible calls our heart. In fact, in the Bible, 765 times, God mentions the heart. And almost exclusively, he's not talking about the blood-pumping organ in your body. In the Bible, when it talks about your heart, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's talking about who you really are, the seat of your soul, the source of your life, your personality, who you are. Your heart. Just like the physical heart is essential to our health and our life. There's a lot of things you can function without in this life in your body. A lot of things. Politicians function without a brain all the time. That's incredible to me. All you have to do is listen to him and go, that dude is brain dead from the neck up. But that issue, that's another one. But the truth is, you cannot function without a heart that works right. Physically, your body will not function without a heart that functions as it should. And I think we understand the principles behind the physical part of your heart. But now, wait a minute. You know, in the Bible, this heart that God is talking about here is just as essential to your life. Because it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that source of who you are, that place where your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your personality, the real you. If you don't guard that carefully, the Bible says you must understand, you must guard it, because out of that part of you, that essential part of your life, are the issues of your life. Issues means your directions, where you're going to go, how you're going to get there. It also, the word issues there means boundaries. It sets the limits of your life and helps you it protects you. Out of it are all the directions of your life, all the boundaries of your life, Everywhere you're going to go in your life, everything about you comes from your heart. And so the Bible says you need to guard that very carefully. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to draw you an analogy between the physical heart and what we need to do about that and the one the Bible talks about, your biblical heart, as we would call it. And standing there listening to cardiologists and doctors talking to patients, I heard them talk to them, and they, of course, asked a series of questions to make a diagnosis of what the problem was. They'd run them through a battery of tests to take a look at the situation in their heart and then tell them what needs to be done. And I also found that those same directions, instructions, and diagnosis that the doctors gave would work for the biblical heart we have too. For example, the doctor would talk to them about, you have to take care of your heart. And they would say, now talk to me about your diet, your exercise. What do you do? And then we'd start talking about this business of preventative care. And he would talk about this matter of, he said, look, do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you do drugs? That's always an interesting set of questions for me as their pastor standing there. I always like to be in on that part. Some of them will say, well, I don't drink a whole lot. You know, one of those deals, because I'm standing there.
I can't use a glass of wine.
You know, and one of those deals, they kind of do that one because the pastor's standing there. But the truth is, he says, well, you have to understand now, if you've been doing that for many years, you have created the issue with your heart because of improper diet, because of poor exercise, because of bad habits that you've developed in your life, then you've created the issue. And he tried to emphasize, the doctor would try to emphasize, you should have been taking better care of your heart. You know, I find that's true of our biblical heart also. Preventative care is always better than anything else. Keep your heart with all diligence means to guard it, put protection around it. So you guard what goes into your heart, your mind, and in your life. Well, first thing, like good proper diet is essential to your condition of your physical heart, so it is with your spiritual one. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Bible talks about meditating on the word of God, taking it into your heart and your mind, thinking on it, making sure that you put a good diet of health in you. I was in the Midwest this week, and I was telling Brother Evans about that, and they stopped to give me a meal before I got on the airplane to come home, and they took me one of those good southern kitchens. And the guy said, you got to try their pork tenderloin here. He said, it's really, really good. I said, okay. I said, give me one. They brought out a plate this big. And the pork tenderloin, I ain't preaching now, I'm telling the truth, was breaded, deep fried, and that wide. Covered in white gravy and mashed potatoes with white gravy. And then I got a witness on that this morning. All right, you're with me, stay with me. And I'm talking about the health of your heart. I'm talking about clogging the last good artery I have, eating that one. And then, of course, to add to that, I got to order fried okra to go with it, because anybody that's saved eats fried okra. If you don't eat fried okra, you're not going to heaven. If you go to heaven, you won't eat that fried okra. We're kicking you out. That's all there is to it. And a Diet Coke to balance the whole thing out. It's almost a joke to drink a Diet Coke after you have something like that. That was my lunch before I got on the airplane. Now, the truth of the matter is I can't eat like that anymore unless I'm out of town. So I go out of town every week just to make sure I can have food. You can't keep eating stuff like that. You just can't do it. Sorry, but no. And Christian, look at me. Child of God, we have no relationship with the Word of God, and we wonder why we get a heart that's cold or calloused or indifferent or bitter. If you hide the Word of God in your heart, you need to put it in your, you need to literally read this book, get it into your mind, and more than just hear it, you need to receive what it tells you. It does amazing. Oh, it's like taking cholesterol medicine. It just starts to clear things out. And you get things in your mind and your heart, and the Word of God helps you to perceive what you ought to perceive, see what you ought to see. It's a mirror that shows you the reflection of your life and the likeness of the Savior, whose life we are supposed to be like anyhow. It's amazing, and it's good food. It's good nutrition for the heart. You take care of your heart. You exercise it. And look at it. This is not exercise. Changing channels when you got 442 channels, that's not exercise. Exercise is not pulling the handle on the recliner so your feet go up and push it so your feet can go down. That's not exercise either. That's not what you would call exercise. You got to have cardiovascular. You got to have some kind of exercise in your life. It's amazing what that'll do. My doctor, Dr. Martinez in our church here, he told me, he said, cardiovascular exercise will do more to lower cholesterol than just about anything. But you got to get your heart rate up and you got to do these kind of things and stuff. Okay, fine. Now, when we're talking about taking care of our spiritual heart, well, that means you need to exercise that too. Christian, look at me. The worst thing you can do in your physical life is just take in, and not put any kind of effort into what you have. As a child of God, you don't want to just go to church and sit. Now, that's not good for you. It's good to go to church, but that's not all. There needs to be something more that whereby I take what I receive from the Word of God and I put it into practice in my life. That's why you ought to be a child of God who is a member, a joined up member of a local independent Baptist church just like this one. You see, that's pretty sneaky how you got that in there, Pastor Johnson. Ain't no sneak, bro. Brought it right down the aisle to you. You ought to join this church so then you can serve in this church and exercise your heart. Put that heart to work. Yeah, well, sometimes I go to church, I just don't feel like it. Boy, nothing will encourage you like helping somebody else with your life. You know, folks, look at me. The truth is, some of you folks, you live under your burden because you won't put it down long enough to help somebody else with theirs. This is a good burden-lifting place. Help somebody. Do something with your life. We get involved in all these organizations and programs and all this kind of stuff because it makes us feel good about what we do. And then 6 months from now, nobody's going to even know what you did. When right here, ladies and gentlemen, under this roof, these two roofs, these 35,000 square foot of buildings right here, every given Sunday and Wednesday, you have the opportunity to take what you know from that book and apply it to somebody's life and help them with their needs. Does wonders for your heart. Boy, don't you ever just get so discouraged when you look at the world and you think, oh my soul, this world has not gone to pot, it's past that. Look at the mess and the condition of our society. Now look at me. We can stand around and gripe about it all day long, but a good church like this helps our society. And you get to see the benefit of seeing somebody's life impacted for the cause of Christ and for eternity. It's good for your heart. Take good care of it. You know what you do, number two? You get regular checkups. I found the number one condition from these doctors that affects our heart is our genetics almost more than our diet. Your people, where you come from. I have, my doc told me, I have two of the three strikes. My dad's people have heart issues. My mom's one of 13. She's in heaven now. One of 13 brothers and sisters, and 12 of those 13 died of cancer. Of course, they all smoked and drank like idiots, but, you know, it didn't help the situation. But he said, you got two of the three strikes. I said, what's the third one? He said, suicide. But, you know, the truth is, he says, you got a lot against you here. Because I went through this whole diagnostic thing where you fill out a history of, you know, all your people and everything else that went on. And it's amazing how you go to the doctor and you think everything's fine. And they do some blood work and tests and they find stuff you didn't know was there, which is why I stay away from the doctor. I still remember the first time I went to him. He put the blood pressure cuff on me, pumped it up, and he went, You don't want to hear your doctor say that. He kept doing it, and I thought, is it not working? He goes, no, it's fine. I said, okay, what? He goes, you have good blood pressure. But he didn't say it like, you have good blood pressure. He said it like, you have good blood pressure. He said, you're disappointed, aren't you? You thought I was going to come in, you're going to slap the paddles on me, drag me across the street, huh, to the hospital. He said, you have good blood pressure. I said, hey, that's good, right? He goes, yeah, it's good. I'm surprised, but it's good. I found, yeah, God is my judge. I'm not on cholesterol medication. I'm not on blood pressure medication. Nothing like that. I got a marijuana prescription. But, I mean, I got none of the rest of this stuff. I don't have that. Don't panic. I don't need a prescription. I made it to the 60s. The truth of the matter is, dear people, look at me. It's amazing what you find out when you go for a checkup. I've seen these doctors stand beside the bed. When was the last time you went for a checkup? It's almost always a man. I don't know, 30 years ago when I got out of the military. 30 years? Why don't you go for checkups? Why? I feel fine. A little pain down my left arm, numbness on the side of my face. I pass out every now and then, but I'm fine. He said, well, those are symptoms. I find that biblical heart God has given you. Oh, I had a checkup this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, I get a checkup with him on a regular basis. I can talk myself into anything and I can convince myself I'm all right. But I found God who really loves me and wants to help me. He's very honest with me. And hey, when everything's all right, he lets me know everything's all right. Oh, that peace of God that passeth all understanding that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, that's wonderful. You know, getting a hold of God and God getting a hold of you, that's a really important thing. And then you find out some things you've been dealing with or not dealing with in your life. I don't understand it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, how shall we that are dead to sin continue to live therein? That we sin is not the issue. How do we live it? How do we just keep doing what we do? We just go on. We're not getting a checkup. Lord, look at me. Search my heart, God. Is everything all right with us? Am I all right with you? Am I all right with others too? Everything. And you get that checkup. It's amazing what God brings up. So I don't do it anymore because he just keeps bringing up the same thing. Deal with it. Do something about it. There's a reason he keeps bringing up the same thing because you haven't dealt with that issue yet. Regular checkup, boy, that's good for the heart condition. Regular checkup is good for the heart of your soul, of your life. Don't trust your evaluation of your heart. Trust God's. Number next is you look for symptoms. Those guys, it's always a guy too. Well, I've had chest pains and, you know, numbness and things. What is that? Doctor said, well, that's a heart situation. I drive down the road and I kind of go, my left eye goes like that. What does that mean? Well, that's probably a little stroke or something. You know, you deal with it. You watch for symptoms in your life. Proverbs 14 and 10 says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Now we know this. Now look here. We know that bitterness in the Bible is likened to a poison and a narcotic. I know people who are addicted to their bitterness. You can tell by how they act. You know, my favorite ones are like this. They go to church, they smile, they're nice to everybody. And then they just rip their family to shreds. Rag on their spouse, rag on their kids. They got this bitter thing in their life. Something happened somewhere down the road, and they just decided to live on it like a junkie lives on drugs and like a person whose body is poisoned and they don't have perception of what they're doing in their life because it's affected their brain, their heart, their lives. You know, the Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Now, I'll testify to you this morning. This preacher's been bitter in his life. I know exactly what I'm talking about, and I know exactly what it is. And look at me. When I see it even start to tickle what the Bible says, Hebrews 12 calls, there's even begins to be a root of bitterness in my life. I got to get that out of my life. Whatever it is, something's there, whether it's somebody, someone, something. Some of you folks this morning, you're bitter at God because you're mad at what he did or didn't do in your life or what he should or shouldn't have done. You better pull that now. You better fix that. There's something between you and God. You better get that out of the way. You see that symptom in your life. Some of you are bitter at things happened to you in your childhood or as you grew up or what's happening in your marriage, your life or family or whatever, but the heart knoweth its own bitterness. We know when it starts and we see the symptom of it. There's an anger that's there. There's a frustration that's there. There's a bitterness toward people. There's clamor and evil speaking, Ephesians 4 says, argumentativeness, all that kind of junk. You know that's there. You see those kind of symptoms in your life, you got to do something about that now. Well, I'll just soldier on. Well, the root of bitterness in Hebrews 12 is likened to a plant that grows, and the root gets to the ground before what's above the ground begins to be seen, and then you come and take that plant above the ground off the root stays. It just keeps coming up. It just keeps coming up. The Bible says root of bitterness springing up thereby defiles many. You're poisoning marriages, poisoning relationships, poisoning your kids, poisoning your friendships. Don't you see that? Don't you understand? That has to stop, and God's grace will help you with that. But you got to acknowledge you got issues, you got symptoms. I don't go to the doctor very often. If I get really sick, I'll go. But for some reason, just sitting in the office, I feel better. You know, I got double lung pneumonia, strep throat, and my right leg's about to fall off. And I walk in and sit down, and all of a sudden I go, you know, I don't feel too bad. I think I'll go home. Well, the truth is, those symptoms are still there. And you got to do something about that. You got to check for symptoms of your heart in your heart. Look here. There's so many things. We cannot cover them all this morning, but early detection is so important in the matter of symptoms. When you read your Bible and you get nothing out of it, look here. It's not like you have to have some blazing, lightning, transforming truth every time you read the Word of God. But if you get nothing from your Bible time, nothing from your walk with God, nothing from the teaching and preaching of His Word, nothing, it's a coldness and an indifference. That's a symptom of a heart condition. Something needs to be done here. I need to get with my God and find out what's happened, Lord. You can't live with bitterness between each other as a husband and wife, as parents and their children, or children and their parents, or fellow Christians among each other. You can't live like that now. There's something there. That's a symptom that something's not right. And then you need to do this. Once you know what the diagnosis is, don't delay repairs. I watched the doctor tell this one guy. He goes, you have 5 blockages, 80% or more, that you're alive is a miracle. Now, we got to do something about that. Hey, Doc, I'm going to go fishing next week. He said, no. Now, you can go, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't put this off. Well, I'll tell you what, a couple months from now, I'll come back and see you, and we'll take a look at it. Doctor says, I am telling you now, and the blockages you have are what we call widow makers. They could kill you. You may not even get to the parking lot, and the guy will go, oh, okay, I'll think about it. Or they do the work, they fix it up, and then what do they say? Now, you're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to change your exercise program. You have to change some things in how you live. Yeah. 2 years later, they're back in the hospital having the other stuff fixed that they didn't take care of because they didn't change anything. Now, I'm sorry. Please don't get upset with me when I say this. I'm sorry, but I'm not a fan of diets and diet programs or nutrition programs or whatever they want to name them nowadays. The only answer to this stuff about our health is you got to change the way you eat and do your exercise. That's the only thing that works. Now, it's slow, but I'll be honest with you, that's about all it does, and that's about all it takes. You say, well, you just talked about eating a tenderloin that big, for goodness sakes. Oh, hush. But seriously, I don't eat like that. I cannot eat like that. I don't even eat 3 meals a day. I can't do that. Huge breakfast, master lunch, and a dinner that would kill 14 people in a third world country. I can't do that. I've had to change my diet and my I've had to change things. I realize that. Okay? So what are you trying to do? Live longer. Yeah, I guess so. You know, the truth is, people, when God lets you know what it is you need to do in your life, look here, don't put that off. Do something. Well, I've been convicted about something before. Well, I'll change churches. That's not going to make it any better. I think God's kind of like everywhere. So that doesn't change anything. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor Johnson, you know, I'm going to church and that's just good enough. Look at me. You're putting off what you know God wants you to do. You're missing something here. And that condition, every time, you know, a callus is developed by friction. And the more you work with your hands, the more you develop those calluses from friction. You know what happens to the heart? The Holy Spirit of God starts working on that heart, and you know what we do? We do nothing. So He keeps working. It'll either help us to get it right, or we'll get callous and do nothing. That's why when a person knows they do not have salvation, they do not have what the Bible says is biblical salvation, it is essential that when God tugs on your heart, you yield and trust Christ and settle it. Because after a while, you get so calloused, you can sit through church like nothing's happening and it's all well, fine, and good. And you got yourself completely convinced that everything is okay. You say, I don't think that happens. Oh, yeah, it does. Let me tell you about Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles, one of those 12 disciples that was with Jesus. This day today, 2,000 plus years later, that man is still in hell. And he went everywhere Jesus went, did everything Jesus did just about. It was even the treasurer of the church. And never trusted Christ. That night Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He said, now before we take this, fellas, those 12 men are sitting there. He says, before we take this, I'm going to tell you right now, one of you tonight is going to betray me. And they all jumped up and pointed at Judas and said, it's that guy in the inn with the money bag. We knew it was him all along. No, they didn't. Each one of them came to Jesus after that and said, is it me? And the last one to speak to him was Judas himself. Is it me? And he knew it was. But you see, he had gotten so calloused under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he crossed the line with God. I said, when it's time God moves on your heart, you yield now. He's a loving, merciful, wonderful, patient God. But he will draw the line. And you don't want to get across that line. You do not. And as his child, God will convict and work and help us and encourage us. Here's what you ought to be doing now. Let's take care of this. Well, I'll get around to it. One of these, and we keep putting things off with him. Well, the Bible calls it, the Apostle Paul said, I fear lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's this expression that applies to the Olympic Games. These people train, qualify, prepare themselves, get ready. And then have you seen it where they get disqualified because they violated a rule? Or they violated something in the competition, or they violated substance abuse before they got there, and they were disqualified. That's the term castaway in the Bible. Able, capable, but set aside because they violated the rules to where they were disqualified. That's what happens to Christians. You know what? We say, well, you know, I should get more involved. I should do more. I should this. I should that. And we just keep putting it off and putting it off. After a while, look at me. God just takes you and sets you aside and says, they're still my child, and they'll go to heaven, but that's it for them. And he puts them aside. Qualified, capable, but put on the shelf. Don't delay now. If God's working on your heart about something, Christian, you yield to him. Well, I don't think it's that big a deal. Why does he keep bringing it up? Yield to him. Otherwise, I don't want to get set aside. I want to run my race that's set before me, and I want to finish my course with joy. I want to do what God put me on this earth to do and finish doing just exactly what that is. And so do you. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And once you get your heart fixed, don't turn around and mess it up again. You just stay faithful with God. Let's go on from there. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.